You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
This morning we're beginning part four of this series on the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, it says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him. And he was about to pass that way, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house.'" Verse 6, "So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw him, they all grumbled, 'He has gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said, 'Behold, the Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to your house.'" The title of this message is The Holy Spirit, Part 4, "I Am Coming to Your House." When the heart of mercy comes, so does the presence of God to your house. Let's pray. So Father, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, we declare for your word to go forward and accomplish everything else set to do. Lord, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Lord, I thank you that your word is true and every man's a liar. Lord, we declare right now, Holy Spirit, breathe upon the Logos word and let it become rhema. Let it become alive today. Come on, just put your hands out to receive right now. Holy Spirit, we ask for you to speak today. We declare no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome here. We declare right now, fear has to go, anxiety has to go. Any spirit but the Holy Spirit, you do not have authority or dominion in this place. So Holy Spirit, come and take your seat of predominance in this place. This is yours. It belongs to you. This church belongs to you. We belong to you. We say, have your way. Father, I thank you. No one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. 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 We're on part four of this series called The Holy Spirit. If you missed any of this series, it's on the podcast, the Facebook, the YouTube, and all that stuff. In part one, we talked about he's a Holy Spirit, and in order to know the Holy Spirit, you must know holiness. In part two, Heather ministered on birthing reformation, and what is conceived with the Holy Spirit is made holy. Part three was Holy Spirit come. When the Holy Spirit comes where he is welcome and he stays where he has ownership. I had the privilege of taking the last few weeks off of ministering as Pastor Mondo ministered, Pastor Eric Johnson, and I was driving in my car and I heard the Holy Spirit so clearly speak to me, and he said this phrase to me. He said, "I'm coming to your house." And the moment he said that to me, I'm a church boy, and so instantly I thought of Zacchaeus. When he said, "I'm coming to your house." And I came to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to come and make residence in your house. This is the story of Zacchaeus. We get it from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke tells this story of Zacchaeus. It's the only gospel that tells this story. And Luke always depicts Christ as a friend of sinners, because how many know he is? His gospel continuously focuses on kindness and forgiveness. In fact, forgiveness is one of the leadership values of Mercy Culture Church. So when you become a member and you join the serve team, you enter into the leadership of this church. And as you begin to serve and lead, we have values that we live by. And one of these values is forgiveness. And the reason why is the moment you stop forgiving is the place you stop spiritually growing. And how many have heard people say over the course of time that profess to be Christ followers, but in a moment of passion or frustration, they'll say something like, "I can never forgive them for that." And really what they're saying is this is the place I stop growing. Because if you are a Christ follower, forgiveness is not an option. Luke is always speaking of forgiveness. He's always speaking of kindness. Luke shares the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, and here in our text this morning, the Good Samaritan. The Bible says that he entered a place called Jericho, and Jericho is a great historical city. Most of us know the story of Jericho from Joshua 2 and 6, where the giant walls of Jericho came crumbling down. You know the story that Joshua and Caleb and the other spies went out and spied out the land and came back with, two came back with a good report, others came back with a bad report because they partnered with the spirit of fear. So they weren't allowed to enter into that city, but they came to the city of Jericho and they prayed and they walked around the wall and they shouted and they believed God and those powerful walls came crumbling down. Well, after Jericho fell, it continued to be utilized as a great city. It stands there to this day. It's a city that was known for its wealth because it was fertilized by an abundant spring, and Jericho was known as the city of the palms. Had great palm trees, and these trees called sycamore trees. In fact, a group of us, Tyler came with us, and a group of us, about 50, came earlier this or last year, and we went to the Holy Land, and we went to Jericho, and you could see these massive sycamore trees and these beautiful palm trees all over the city. I think those are some right there. These beautiful trees that kind of look like oaks here that are all over the city. And this was known, the city was known for its beautiful trees. It was also known for its industry. It was strategically placed right outside Jerusalem, about 15 miles in between Jordan and one of the pathways to Galilee and all the other cities that were around that place. This was the last place, the last city that Jesus went through before he went up into Jerusalem to go be tried, to die on the cross and to raise from the grave for us. So this city is very important. And after Jesus, and in this time, and after Joshua and before Jesus, it was a city that was known for its great wealth, trade, and export. And a part of that, they would have Roman officials that would be in charge of taxing the people on all of their sales, of all the travelers coming and going. And if there was an individual that was unethical, this was a great position to obtain great wealth if you didn't have integrity in the situation. And Zacchaeus was a man who did not have integrity. The Bible says that he had great wealth, and it was made off taxing people, not according to what should be done, but according to his own measure. We know this about Zacchaeus, that he was the chief tax collector, and he was very rich, and he wasn't liked. It's interesting. When we talk about money in church, a lot of people get uptight or upset. And like I said at the beginning of the message, we don't take time to do that in the service. We honor God with our firsts and our best, but we don't take time. But it's important to talk about finances in church. And here's the reason why, because it's such a significant part of your life. And, you know, we talk about marriage because it's important. We talk about morality because it's important. We talk about forgiveness because it's important. We talk about spiritual warfare because it's important. So all these topics and these issues are important for us to live Christ-centered lives. And money is one of those things. God taught me how to hear his voice through money. I became 18. I became obsessed with hearing the voice of God. And the only thing he ever talked to me about was giving money away. And I remember getting so frustrated and so irritated. I was like, Lord, I'm asking you to speak to me. Why are you only talking to me about money? And the moment I asked him that question, he goes, because I got your attention. Money has your attention. Money takes your focus. And money is an inanimate object, which means it's not either good or evil. The Bible says that money is the root of all evil, but money itself cannot be evil because it's not alive. It determines by whose hand it's in. In fact, in our large church, I didn't hear one person who like, hey, you know, I denied my stimulus check because I didn't know if that came from cartels and I wasn't sure. They didn't tell me where it came from. And so, you know, I just wasn't comfortable with it in my account. I haven't seen one person that you see a $100 bill on the side of the road and you're like, I'm gonna let that one go. Don't know where it's been. Come on, somebody. in church, we have these different pictures. And typically, you think about money the way that you were taught or raised or whatever culture that you came out of. And some people look at people with money or without money with a different spiritual disposition than themselves. And I wanted to tell you, no matter what level of wealth you have, that does not reflect your spiritual maturity. Jesus teaches us a lot about money. The Bible teaches us a lot about honoring God. I was talking with a friend this week, a friend of mine named Kevin. He's one of the most wealthy guys I know. And he's a great steward, very humble man. And he said to me, he goes, you know what's funny? He goes, there's very few Christian billionaires. And I never even thought of that before. He goes, how many Christian billionaires you know? And I was like, I think just Kanye West. That's usually where someone go, he ain't saved. And I'll go like, hey, I don't know if you're saved. But if you think about it, it's not like there's this plethora. And the reason why, he goes, I think it's because as your wealth increases, your humility must increase with it. It's a challenge. It's going to challenge who you are. Money gets your attention. There's a secret, though, that wealthy people know that impoverished people don't know. And it's this: money doesn't make you happy. Isn't it interesting that there's something that your heart set on that you really, really want, and the moment you get it, all of a sudden, you're not as happy as you thought you were about it? Remember that when you're a little kid? Remember that when you're an adult? Because it doesn't change, because it doesn't meet those needs that only God can. Jesus talks a lot about money. One thing he says is in Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters. Either one will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The King James says this: you cannot serve God and mammon. If you're unfamiliar with the name mammon, mammon is a demonic spirit that rests on money. I told you money can't be good or evil, but the enemy, a foul spirit, will try to, through greed and through fear, dictate how you engage with your money. I was introduced to mammon about 8 years ago, and I was sitting on my couch, wasn't even praying, minding my own business, watching the news. And I was thinking about all these things that were in my heart to do at the time, and all of a sudden I hear that sweet whisper of the Holy Spirit, and he just said this to me. He said, you serve mammon. And the moment he said it, Pastor Mondo, I was offended. The Lord offended me. The moment I heard him say it, like in my heart, I was like, oh, I serve mammon. I was like, my dad taught me to tithe when I was a kid. I mean, I've been tithing. I've been giving. I've so generously. I don't miss it. I serve you. What do you mean I serve mammon? It's this amazing thing when you kind of get into like these arguments with God. You never win. And all of a sudden, he gives me a vision. Now, if you're unfamiliar, God gives visions to people all the time. You might think they're daydreams, but God speaks through pictures in your mind. And I'm sitting on my couch, and all of a sudden, I see this vision. And the vision was these two large scales. And on one side of the scale was God. And on the other side of the scale was an amount of money. And then all of a sudden in this vision, I started hearing myself pray, Lord, I need $100,000 or I need a miracle. And I had spent years in ministry praying, God, I need this or I need you. God, I need these resources or I need you. I need this kind of breakthrough or I need you. Am I the only one that ever prayed those jacked up prayers? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, mammon is any time money equates or is equal with me. You put us both on the same altar. Mammon sounds like you're afraid that the food is going to run out tomorrow when you already ate today. Mammon is, I'm afraid I can't pay my bills tomorrow when my bills are paid today. Mammon sounds like there'll never be enough. Mammon is laced with that spirit we're all becoming very familiar with, of fear. It's an imitation of the Holy Spirit. It mimics the Holy Spirit, but it's the opposite of the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden you start operating in fear, and then you start operating in greed, and then you abandon kingdom principles. Man, even from the beginning, when God was providing with the Israelites in the wilderness, he said, I'm gonna give you daily bread, and after every day, it's gonna spoil, and it's gonna be filled with maggots, because I'm gonna teach you how to provide. I'm gonna teach you how to trust me. I'm gonna teach you daily. Man, let me just pass to you for a second. If your world was rocked by a 3-month shutdown, what are you gonna do when the mark of the beast comes? And you can't buy, trade, or sell. Ooh, I wanna say the church, too many church members might be the first one in line. I wanted to say that, but I'm not gonna say that. Have self-control. Let me pastor you. If you were rocked by this, you got some work to do. Because this is just the conditioning of the Antichrist. We're in the beginning stages. We got some growing to do. We have some maturing to do in this area. God said this, you can only serve one. You can only serve one. So how do you know which one you serve? It's really easy. It's which one you put first. You know what tithes and the first fruit does? It teaches us how to put God first. If you're new to the Bible or a life with Jesus, a tithe stands for a tenth. We get this throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end. Malachi chapter 3. Just give some context for this. The children of Israel were in captivity. They were fallen away, and they weren't living right. So God kept sending his prophets in the Old Testament with the purpose of getting people right with God. And the prophet Malachi came with the prophetic word to get people right with God. And he said, if you want to be right with God, Malachi 3, quit stealing from him. Quit robbing him. They said, we haven't done this. We haven't robbed God. He said, yes, you have in your tithes and offerings. Listen, tithing is a biblical principle on how you put God first. And let me tell you, because here's right here as a pastor more than anything else, when people have a hard time with tithing, is they say this, I can't afford it. And the only reason you can't afford it is because God's not first. Because if you run out, it's only because God wasn't given to first. But the truth is we give to T-Mobile,
Netflix, Hulu, Amazon.
That's about Spotify. So we give out all these things and we're like, oh, Pastor, I can't afford it. Ah. That's mammon. Because that's the one you serve first. Now, it's interesting. Because the Lord spoke to this house through a prophetic word on March 22nd. And he spoke to this house, and the prophetic warning was, don't stop tithing. And I felt like I was supposed to come as the pastor of the members of this church and just tell you how proud I am of you. You know the average church in America, it's about 5% of Christ followers tithe. And in this house of members, it's 95%. I wanted to tell you, I'm proud of you. This is a generous church. This is a faithful church. Not only are you generous with your finances, this church is generous with your time. I just got a text from Mark Taylor last night. And since we started our food bank 8 weeks ago, we've done 2.7 million meals to over 40,000 people in 8 weeks. Come on, put your hands together, church. You're a part of that. We got dozens of people serving. We got people praying. We have people every single week in that hall taking care of your kids and ministering to them and pouring life into them. We have an amazing, generous church, and it's amazing to be a part of it. But Zacchaeus wasn't generous. In fact, he had all the things that money could buy, but he had no peace. He had no joy. Something was missing. He had all of the luxuries of life, all of the possessions, earthly possessions someone can have, but he was spiritually bankrupt. He needed a God encounter. And he heard that a man named Jesus was passing through. It's interesting how the word of God, word sinks. Jesus was passing through, which means this, is that nobody stopped him to get him to stay. Now remember, the same way people interacted with Jesus is the same way that we can interact with the Holy Spirit. The same way the disciples walked and talked with Jesus is the same way we walk and talk with the Holy Spirit. And Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing through. Let me ask you this question. Do you notice when the Holy Spirit is passing through? Do you notice when he's in the room? I was on the trail this morning at 4 a.m. I run it and pray it just about every morning. And I'm running on the trail and I'm listening to worship from last Sunday, which was incredible. And there's a point that Jalen was singing. I think I was on the trail yelling, "Sing, Jay!" And I'm on the trail and all of a sudden, I start getting goosebumps. Now, it's 81 degrees, y'all. I am sweating profusely, I think on mile 4, and I'm running on this trail, and all of a sudden, I got goosebumps and just whoosh, feel the presence of God. And I stopped running, and I got down on my knees in the rocks, and I said, "Lord, I want to acknowledge, don't let your spirit pass by." Every time I feel his presence, if I'm back by the sound booth or back over here, wherever I am, or in a prayer meeting with our staff or wherever it is, when I get those goosebumps, this tangible presence of God, when I feel his presence, I get on my knees because I don't want to miss the moment the Holy Spirit is passing by. Do you recognize his presence? Let me ask you this question. Do you recognize when his presence isn't there? Heather and I have been married 15 years in July. And there's been certain times where we've had intense fellowship. And in those seasons of intense fellowship, there's been times, let me just vent for a second. These preachers get up on the stage. Hold on a second. And they get up on the stage and they're like, "Let me help you guys out. The woman is always right." I'm like, that guy's lying from the pulpit. He's lying from the stage. Lord, are you going to do something about this? Fellas, that was your chance. How many know what I'm talking about? All those guys are smart. Look at, she just stopped him right there. She's like, "No, sir, no, sir. We're about to have some intense fellowship and we leave." And there'll be these times where all of a sudden, like, it went from 1 to 10 really fast. And there's been times where I've stopped or she stopped and we're like, whoa, we love each other. Whoa, where's the Holy Spirit? Because he ain't in this conversation. He's not in this room. Whoa, some spirit came in here and flipped this thing upside down. Listen, you got to be able to discern when you are in a situation, you're like, whoa, where'd the Holy Spirit go? Because this Facebook thread just got crazy. Where's the Holy Spirit in this? Whoa, no. Something just shifted. Something just changed. We need to welcome him back in. Listen, this isn't a game. We didn't write it on our building to be cute. This is how we live our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. It says this. Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not. He's seeking Jesus, but because of a crowd, he can't find Jesus. If you're taking notes, please write this down. Crowds are the place of popular opinion. He's trying to get Jesus, but there are way too many opinions. You want to be saved? You got to do this. You want to be saved? You got to do that. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to do this. Are you all these rules and regulations? That's religion, y'all. He couldn't get to the crowd. Now watch, the strategy of the crowd is to get you to give your opinion, so that you join their crowd. Because if I could just get everybody putting their opinions together, everything, let me help you right now. You're not gonna hear God through crowds. You hear man through crowds. The inception of the fear of man are through crowds. Popular opinion. Am I saying what everyone else is saying? Is enough people saying what I'm saying? And do I fit into this crowd? Are they going to welcome me into this thing? See, here's the thing. Listen, crowds have roars, but God has a voice. And if you're in the crowd, you'll never take on giants. It's interesting. King Saul was really popular. He had a lot of followers. A lot of comments. But all of a sudden, he cared more about people's comments than he did pleasing the Father. And what happened was, he began to fear the crowd instead of fearing God. And when a giant came, he was too afraid to fight the giant because he was afraid of the crowd. Watch this. Because when you're afraid of the crowd, you become afraid of what the crowd is afraid of. So then he has to find a little shepherd boy. 1 Samuel 17 and 15. He has to find a shepherd boy to go and fight a giant for him. Because he had a shepherd boy worship for him. The moment you stop worshiping is the moment you stop fighting. I would encourage you, we do this all the time in Christianity. We say things like, pray for me. Just need you to pray for me. Go online, tell everybody at once, it's way easier. Pray for me. And really what we mean is you pray instead of me. But here's the thing, is if we pray instead of you, you're never going to take on the lion and bear in front of you. I will pray for you, but I can't pray for you. So David takes on the roar of a lion, the intimidation of a bear. And then he has the same intimidation of a crowd. He's in the middle of a crowd. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, what about God? And you let him live? He's looking around. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like I'm looking around right now saying, what is you said, what about God? What's going on in the world? What's going on in America? What's happening right now? No, no, somebody, you can't defy our God. Here's what he said. He said, tell me what the giant said. Tell me what the king said. And his older brother turned to him, intimidated him, and he said this. He said, where'd you come from? You don't got a place. No one wants to hear you. Where'd you leave the few sheep that you're in charge of? Your little ministry. What are you saying something for? You got like 142 followers. No one cares. There's a whole lot of people with a lot of followers that aren't saying nothing. Tell you what, I'm so glad the Lord told me to get off social media this year, though. I'll tell you what. Praise the Lord. Watch, Eliab is rebuking his brother, and he turns, watch. Eliab is mocking him and rebuking him, and he turns from his brother, and he continues the conversation. So David took on the lion, the bear, the crowd, and then a giant. We have all these self-promoted, self-anointed leaders that are taking on giants but can't take on a crowd. Zacchaeus could not get to Jesus because of a crowd. Here's what it says. So then, I love this. I love the phrase. The King James says this. He couldn't get there because of the press. Has anyone felt the spiritual press in this season? So when you feel the spiritual press, how do you navigate? When you can't get past the approval of men, how do you navigate? Church, you go higher. Someone in this place needs to go above the crowd and begin to participate in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is when you stop seeking what everybody thinks and you start asking God what pleases him. Look at this. So, verse 3. He was seeking to see Jesus, but on the count of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. I read this, and when I read the Bible, it's like my spiritual spidey senses go off. And I was in my office reading small in stature, and I was like, ooh, spiritual spidey sense. I'm like, there's something there. There's something on that. But I don't know. So I went to the whiteboard in my office, and I wrote on the whiteboard, Holy Spirit, why was he so small? Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Question mark. Hashtag speak soon. Sermon Sunday. Just kidding. And I woke up the next morning and I went in my office. I looked on the board. And I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit. And he said this. He was small because he was spiritually immature. The spiritually immature can't ever see past the crowd. The spiritually immature can never see past what everybody else is saying and doing. The spiritually immature are led by their flesh. The spiritually mature are led by the Spirit. So when you give someone a piece of your mind, you depart your relationship with the Spirit in order to do so. If you're going to be led by your flesh, that's where you stop growing. Galatians says it like this in 5:17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other. To keep you from doing the things you want to do. Watch this. The tree gave Zacchaeus a different perspective. The Holy Spirit will help give you a different perspective. So how does this work? Look, when you don't understand, just ask the Holy Spirit. I mean it practically. Just sit there, write it down, write it on a board, put it in your phone. Ask him, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. I can't get past this. I'm frustrated with this. He'll speak to you. So he goes and he climbs a tree and he sees Jesus now from a different perspective. He sees him through a tree. It says this, they all grumbled when they heard Jesus encountered Zacchaeus. Man, isn't this like church? Someone gets encounter God, you're like, they look weird when they ran. They're gonna hurt someone. Religious people will always have PhDs in how God doesn't move. And they're honorary PhDs because they have a lot of experience in how God doesn't move. I'm not looking for somebody to tell me how God doesn't move. I'm looking for somebody to tell me how he does move.
I'm looking for somebody to tell me not what God's not doing, what he is doing. I'm looking for somebody that can be in the will of God, in the presence of God, have a relationship with God, and tell me what is God doing. They crumble.
Man, religious people. You know, the same way the religious people resisted Jesus is the same way religious people resist the Holy Spirit. Same God, different people. Everywhere he went, they resisted him. I found what is most resisted in church today is the Holy Spirit. People ask me all the time, how did Mercy Culture grow? We just welcomed the Holy Spirit. Zacchaeus had a God encounter. Worship team, come and join me. And it changed his life. I love this. Here's what he says. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. He encounters God, and Jesus' response is, I must stay at your house. I love the King James. It says this, I must abide at your house. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. It's interesting, no Pharisee invited Jesus over. No religious person invited him over. He met a sinner. He met a tax collector, a manipulator, a selfish man who had every possession in the world but was spiritually bankrupt. And one encounter with Jesus changed everything. One God encounter changed his life. One encounter with his presence. One encounter with mercy. Mercy changes everything. His presence changes everything. Jesus said this, today, salvation has come to your house. Church, I came to tell you today, when you have a heart for his house, when you have a heart for mercy, his heart, his mercy, his presence will come to your house. Zacchaeus, watch this, encounters God, and before Jesus is even at his house, he stops. And he says this, I'm going to give half of what I have away. And anyone I've done wrong to, I'm going to pay him back four times. That might have been the other half of his wealth. Watch. You know what's amazing? The name Zacchaeus. Pastor Kelly, I didn't even know this till I was preparing this message. The name Zacchaeus means innocent and pure. Watch, watch. You have a corrupt man who is walking in a false identity, chasing everything the world has to offer. And he encounters God. He encounters Jesus. And his response is, I'm going to give from a heart of generosity. He instantly was established in his true identity, pure. Innocent. And he said, I want to give an offering that's pure, that's innocent. We're about to take our heart for mercy offering. Nobody move. Let me just share my heart for one moment. I wanted to apologize and repent for every moment of manipulation of church experience. Anytime you're in a moment like this, where something that was intended to be holy was corrupt. My heart's desire is that today is pure. Today's innocent. Here's what we've asked. That you ask God, what are you supposed to do? If you've already done that, you can prepare your offering. If you have not done that, do it. If you're a guest, thanks for hanging out with us. If you're a part of this community, I want everybody to ask the Lord, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to give? As I was in worship, I felt like I was supposed to challenge our millennials. This isn't about money. It's about hearing God. It's about obeying. I learned to hear his voice by hearing him tell me to give, continuing to obey. Would you just take a moment and bow your heads and ask the Lord, Lord, what are we supposed to do? Heather and I gave our offering in March because I felt like we were just supposed to lead by example. This week, God spoke to me in my office and said, give more. It was beautiful because as soon as he told me to do it, I was excited because I heard his voice. One person asked me this week, they said, man, in the highlight videos, all these people give and these amazing things happen. Is that the goal? And I said, absolutely not. The goal is hearing God. But when you have a heart for his house, his heart's turned towards your house. And that's one of the amazing benefits of living a life of obedience that honors God. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that every need in this house, it's your responsibility. I thank you, you're the shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. I thank you, this belongs to you. And Lord, when we fasted and prayed and walked around this campus, I told you every day, it will never be ours. It will always be yours. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people about your house. I pray we would hear and we would obey. Father, I pray right now, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. If you have your offering, you can feel free to come forward and bring it just laid at the steps. If you gave online, please write something on one of these envelopes and just be a part of this moment as a prophetic act. Even if you gave online, there's three ways that you can give. You can give by check. Please write Heart for Mercy next to Mercy Culture. Or you could text to give and write HFM. Or you could go online and there's a Heart for Mercy icon. We want to make sure that this is designated towards Heart for Mercy. This isn't tithes and offerings.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.